So, I'm sat by a pool here at the Custard Factory. Not a swimming pool, like an ornamental one that you'd look at, but you wouldn't really want to swim in it. Anyway, that's not what this podcast is about. So I'm at the Custard Factory in Birmingham, and this is the Friday evening of Young Right Rewired State Festival of Code. And I'm sat by the pool with Dallas Campbell. Hello, Dallas.
Hi.
And lots of people listening will know that you're... Well, you've had a variety of careers. You've been an actor, you're a TV presenter.
I started off as an actor.
Yeah.
But I was... it's funny, I was an actor who I used to sit around reading The New Scientist instead of what I was meant to be doing, which is being an actor. So I was an actor who always had a...
When you should have been reading your lines.
I should have been learning my lines. Yeah. I should have been...
Actually, and now look what's happened to you.
I know, how did it happen? It's weird. Actually, I used to work with a guy called Ken Campbell, sadly, who's no longer with us.
Some listeners will know of Ken.
And Ken was one of those people. Ken was really into science, and he wasn't a scientist. He wasn't an academic. He was really interested in how it all worked, and was kind of frustrated that he didn't really sort of understand how the whole world worked, and sort of set out on this sort of mission to kind of understand more.
So here today, we're surrounded by hundreds of children walking around with laptops and tablets, and they're all hacking and programming. Can you draw some similarities with your own youth? Were you doing similar things to this?
A little bit. I mean, when I was at school, computers didn't exist. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was about... So I was about...
11 or 12.
And I remember my school, we got this first sort of batch of BBC Model B computers kind of arrived. And they were fascinating. You know, they were brilliant. And we used to spend... hours
typing things in,
you know, really rubbish things like, you know, 10 print Dallas is great, 20 go to 10, you know, just basic stuff, and also sort of copying out endless kind of lines of basic to make kind of funny patterns.
And these happen. Are happy memories for you, or
good. It was good, but then you know, other interests happened, and sort of all my coding began and ended in about 1982.
But then you find yourself years later presenting something like the Gadget Show.
Absolutely.
So you still got that interest there.
The sort of interest has never left. But it's, you know, it's interesting now because technology is so much more visible in our lives than it was when I was a kid. I mean, everyone has iPhones, but nobody really understands what goes on underneath the bonnet. People do, obviously.
Sure.
And that's the key thing. It's all very well having an iPhone or having an amazing bit of kit, but to actually understand how it works and being able to have the control to be able to develop your own fantastic bits of kit. That's the key thing. And that's the kind of thing I think that is missing.
I'm wondering, a lot of the tools that these children are using, things like Codecademy and Code Avengers, it's all these things that are online. You could, I suppose, just spend hours in your bedroom learning how to develop. Why do you think there's an emphasis or a focus on bringing children together for something like this?
Well, it's like anything. You know, you bring people together and you share good ideas. And also, something like this, it's fun. You know, you get a bunch of kids together who all have a sleepover with pizza.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's a typical kids' party.
It is just a big party. And it's like anything. It's not just coding. Whatever you do, if you get people together and you talk about ideas, then ideas shared and people will make new friends and collaboration suddenly happens. So that's why it's so good. You know, there is this idea of coding and this idea of kids, you know, of computers, of just being locked away in your bedroom on your own, sitting in front of a screen, you know, being very sort of unhealthy and pallid.
Do you think that's a good way, if somebody wants to be successful at being a software developer, that they should, to the cost of everything else, decide, well, that's what I'm going to do and just focus
no,
on...
No, I think no, it's no. the exact opposite. Yeah, yeah. I think the cost of everything else can only be detrimental. I mean, if you've got an idea or if you've got a passion, absolutely go for it. But I personally believe that you know, the great people in life, people who have wide interests beyond
so things like art and music.
Well, this is the thing, art and science. You know, there's the famous C.P. Snow lecture, the two cultures. You know, it's art and science. They are not exclusive. I think both of these things, art, science, everything, all need a degree of creativity and also a degree of discipline. It doesn't matter what you do. We tend to think of them as very, very separate, but this is not the case.
So Sue Black sending me a message asking if I'm going to meet you.
Do you know what I mean? People always think of science as the kind of uncreative thing, or of coding as computers.
They see them as being discrete
thing.
Rather than seeing them as combined.
Exactly.
And people say there's a lot of maths within art, and you just have to be able to see that and make that connection. And we're just going to run out of time.
Oh, God, no, there's...